Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a special presentation of Two Drink Minimum. The producer's about to show us why he doesn't deserve what's going to come next. Special guests, this year's best podcast in Quebec winners, Couple Ouvert, the open couple. Yeah. How would we say it in English?
I guess swingers.
That's kind of what it would be. Swingers.
But I think Couple Ouvert, because swinger in my mind, like whenever I hear Couple Ouvert, I imagine a dude having someone else fuck his wife and he's just watching. But that's not what a couple of vibe is. They both bang other people.
Yeah.
And they both know about it. So, but that's not what they do. But
no, we're not swingers. Podcast. We are not swingers. Yeah.
Joining us today, two whores. It's true. It would be swingers, but it's not the...
It's not swingers.
Bienvenue. Welcome.
Hi, guys.
It's a pleasure.
You're here for a reason.
We are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mike Ward, legendary comedian and man of funnies. Why are they here?
They're here because they won the award for the best podcast at Les Oliviers. And part of their season, they had Poseidon, who was the sound engineer.
Yeah.
Producer, what? But not producer in the way like make you know paying for shit, but producer in the way of hitting the buttons.
Yeah,
and he was a technician.
Yeah.
and they brought an award. For Poseidon.
Yeah,
it's the reveal time.
Yeah, it's reveal a reveal time. Time.
No one has Poseidon, seen this yet.
Poseidon, we love you. Yes, we really, really, really love your contribution, and it's a prize because you have the worst American accent in the world.
Yeah.
So this prize is for your American accent.
Can you do the Moroccan accent? Because you did it
in front of a Moroccan woman.
You did it in front of a Moroccan woman?
And she lost all respect for you.
And he used slang.
She didn't have respect for him.
She did! A tiny bit.
He used Moroccan slang, and after one word, she was like, that's Lebanese.
He called her a chick. He called her a chick. He called her chick, but in French.
In Lebanese.
Yeah. Because he was doing street Moroccan.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's got to be musician. He's got to be.
Yeah, oh, we know. He's fine with that.
How funny would it be if this is a dildo?
No,
it's not. It's
whatever it
thing.
Is, you will stick it up your ass. So.
Right. You have the camera on you?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But you have no mic.
There it is. There she goes. Miss America.
My mic. Who's Olivier Guimond?
Olivier Guimond, the trophy is Olivier. He was a comic from the vaudeville era. He was the biggest star in comedy in, the 50s.
In 40s.
40s. 40s and 50s. And maybe 30s and then the 60s.
And he's known to,
go down the stairs.
Yeah, there was a...
In a funny way.
It's his main bit.
Like but, Trudeau?
Well, yeah.
Like just falling down the stairs.
Whenever...
Like Joe Biden?
Yeah. But, and when you look at what he did, it's kind of like when you look at Charlie Chaplin now... You go, that is complete fucking garbage. Because comedy doesn't age well. So he pretended to be drunk and fall down the stairs. Then he'd pretend to be drunk and do other stuff.
He wasn't pretending. That's a funny thing. He was like really drunk.
He was hammered?
Yeah, he was. He has a hard alcohol problem.
I would like to say thank you to Tama and Steph and Pantelis and Mike for...
Are you really
me this?
Emotional?
I'm good. I didn't really win. You guys won, and I appreciate you for putting my name down and everything.
You're a main reason why Kuvar is so funny.
No.
Really, really, and you're a main reason. I have another podcast called Two Princes, and you're the main reason why it was so funny. You were next.
They stopped doing both podcasts since.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you. It's important to me to have it at home and so it can motivate me. And
yeah, you heard it. So you heard it.
But it's in a nice place. I'm sorry that I thought it was going to be your name written on it because underneath it's written the name of the podcast, but it's our names. So
It's okay. I have the screenshots that where you put my name down.
All right. Well, thank you so much. All right.
It's enough of that gay shit. All right, let's.
I
don't know how to react when I receive things. So.
You should hug and kiss them.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, like a big hug.
And this, yeah. A group hug?
Now they become swingers. Yeah. Watch this.
Swingers!
Imagine if that podcast was just a ruse to have sex with
Poseidon. Yeah. And he wasn't putting out. So, like, we tried for 6 months.
Yeah. So, yeah, we brought you a gift. We hope you like it.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it, but I feel gay as shit now.
Oh. Please fuck me, Poseidon. Please.
They should do an Olivier for the best accent.
Oh, you were not. You there's no competition. There's no competition.
Can you do the Arab accent in English? Yeah. But no. You did it in French. You did the Moroccan accent in French, but in English.
I saw you do the Italian one at another podcast.
He does the Italian one whenever he's around Italian people.
Oh, wow. We're listening.
He pretends to be Italian.
My accents are so shit.
They're not.
They're not shitty. They're racist. They're excellent.
Hold on. What kind of Italian from New York or Italian from Italy?
I'm sorry.
From Celiona. Like an Italian that never went to Italy.
I feel so ridiculous. Bro, I won award of the year, bro, in comedy podcast.
That's Chinese. Yeah. But that's okay. That's Chinatown Italian.
Right, I'm going to keep the mic away from everyone else.
That was so awful.
So yeah, that's done now.
That was incredible. What a surprise.
Cool. Thanks for having us. Cool.
Thank you for coming. Congratulations again.
Yeah, and sorry for the accent.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with your accent.
Yeah. It's meant to be shared, so thank you so much. Hey, have a nice
Steph Van der Lac, Thomas Levac, Couple Ouvert.
Thank you so much to you, guys.
Swingers.
Yeah,
swingers.
The swingers.
The swingers.
Hi, gentlemen, welcome to Two Drink Minimum. Poseidon is already sabotaging this show. The man in front of me, comedy legend, international superstar, Mike Ward.
I am Mike Ward. You are Pantelis. Our friend here is award-winning buffoon Poseidon. And we have a very special guest today. Yeah.
Is that me? That's me.
No, we have a special guest. Oh. Wes Barker's also here.
Yeah.
But we got a special guest coming to the studio soon. Hopefully he shows up. Until then, we'll talk to you.
Thanks, man.
What's up, magic boy?
Not much. You know, I just remembered I was here last week and I rented a car from fucking Poseidon. And
oh,
I didn't
really
know that. I'm in the lineup and I was like, took a picture. I'm like, fuck, this guy looks like Poseidon. And I posted it on Instagram, be like, oh, my boy Poseidon killing his new job. And like Chris and I thought it was very funny, and then I got up to the counter, and he's like, "Hey, bro, what's up?" And I'm like, "Oh my god!" And then I got the slickest ride, so that was even better.
Did he upgrade you?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like magic.
And he's like, "There's 40 people in a line," and he's like, "Bro, I'll show you where the car is." And like, there's so many people waiting. We go outside. he's got snacks all of a sudden. Eating on the top of this car. I was like, I think you have a job to do.
Any job he does is going to be half-assed.
For sure.
If somebody shows up that he knows, he stops doing it.
Oh, man.
Now, Wes, I don't want to brag for you, but you got a new book out.
Yeah, I just finished writing this book called Abracadumbass, A Magician Who Can't Keep a Secret.
This is one man's journey.
Yes,
10-year-long journey to becoming one of the world's best comedy magicians. Am I correct in this?
That's what the back says.
That's what it says,
You're reading it.
Oh, bro, I'm going to interview you.
No, this is, I don't know what compelled me to read it. You know what? I read years ago, I listened to the audiobook, Bert Kreischer's audiobook.
Okay.
And it was called Life of the Party or whatever. And this is a long time ago. This is before he's fucking Bert Kreischer. And I'm like, he is no more famous then than I am right now.
True.
You know, I'm like, of course. And I love that book. And I'm like, fuck it. There's been so many comedians out there telling stories about what it's like being a comedian, all these funny stories. I'm like, well, this was like being a professional magician. So, you know, it's like, I think I blew some NDAs on this one too, because I tell all about like, there's one chapter in here called Fuck America's Got Talent. Like,
good.
I just went to town, man. So it's really
I've heard
fun.
Bad things about them, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, it's insane. It's insane. So I'm like, well, I'll tell you all about it. So I just been like, I put it all in a book, and I'm so, it's like the thing that, you know, you do something that you're like, I don't think anyone will buy this because I'm not known for writing books, but it's the thing I'm like most proud of. So I'm around right now. Just like anyone who buys it on the pre-sale right now on my site, westbarker.shop, they get...
Links in the description.
Boom. They get, they're going to get the audiobook for free.
Oh.
Right? Because the audiobook will be on sale in like in a month probably from now, but whatever. But
you
I'm
read
like,
the audiobook yourself?
I just finished that. That's so hard.
Oh, is it?
Oh my God. And I love hearing myself talk. I love my own stories. I was reading it at one point laughing so hard. I'm like, this guy's fucking hilarious. He gets me. Right? But like, it's...
Oh,
so,
this guy's me.
But I'm actually just really bad at reading out loud.
Okay.
So it took me like...
Did you sound stupid like when you were reading it? Where you're like, and then I walked into, and the lady said, yeah, hello. Yeah. And then with a funny voice, I answered, good day, madam.
I went, wow, that is a spectacular trick.
Well, then there's, I'm trying to do
chapter
some,
three.
Trying to will do it teach accents? Me how to do magic?
Yeah, there's 8 tricks in here. It will teach you. Yeah, that's another point, too. All my like easy but funny magic tricks you could learn. Some are barbettes, more barbettish, but some are like proper magic tricks. And it's really, yeah, it's really a lot of fun. So, yeah, you're going to learn.
How much does this book cost?
$29.
Bro, that is very reasonable.
Right? Especially now you're getting the audiobook with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I made sure I did like a million takes so I don't sound completely fucked up when I read it. But yeah, but it's really nerve-wracking when you're standing there trying to read the same sentence over and over again. But I had to edit it, so it was double painful, I guess. But yeah, I'm and they're sitting here like people don't know, like I was there's another chapter in there called like fucking Ted Lasso, because Jason Sudeikis is like a huge magic nerd, and he like you can even see him do magic in some of his movies and stuff. So like I put in all these really weird little interactions I've had with like people you wouldn't suspect are magicians.
Okay.
So I think there's a lot of twists and turns, some surprises.
I didn't know Jason Sudeikis was into magic. I knew that Doogie Howser.
Yeah, Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah. I knew Sudeikis like, into bitches, but I didn't know about.
Yeah, he came up to me and Chris one time or at a random cocktail bar, and Chris was like, hey, that's Jason Sudeikis, and I was like, I don't think so, but he's like far away wearing a hat. Like 10 seconds later, he's like next to us, him and Olivia Wilde. This is like back when he's dating her. And he's like, hey, you guys doing card tricks? And we're like, yeah. And he's like, can I sit down? We're like, okay. It was super surreal because I'm like, I'm supposed to be a fan of yours,
yeah,
man. And then Olivia Wilde was there just like not looking like she wanted to be there. But that's no wonder they didn't last. You know what I mean? Like,
did you come up with the titles for every chapter?
My buddy Travis, he's the co-author of this. He came up with a lot of them too. Why? Which one do you read there?
Can you cheat in a casino? And it's just the chapter's one word, no.
Yeah.
And then the next one is, I'm totally a homosexual. But yeah. I don't know. But this one's big. This one's a long chapter. So
yeah, when I read that one, you can tell the excitement in my voice went up. It's quite good. It's yeah.
So welcome back to the city. Mm. How long are you in town
Thank
for?
Thank you. I just came in today just to do my podcast and then do this podcast and then watch Mike do his thing tonight. And that's it. That's what I came in to do. And then I'm out tomorrow.
Mike is doing some seldomly done by comics. He's at the exact same time running an English hour, a French new hour that he's building as he goes. And he's on tour internationally with his French podcast. This is happening at the same time.
Yeah. This month, that's what I was thinking.
I don't know how you're going to be switching.
This month, like last week, I was in Switzerland. And this week, I'm doing LA, Austin, New York. And then the week after, I'm doing Paris, Geneva, Paris, Lausanne, Brussels, and Cannes.
It's yeah. Ridiculous.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
First time going over there for this?
With the podcast, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not nervous, but I'm kind of nervous.
Yeah.
Because French people in France don't understand my Quebec French.
Oh.
Really?
So, but you still got fans there.
But my fans do. Oh. Okay. I know that the French people that listen to my podcast, they know... They understand me like super easily, but when I'm in the street and I'm asking for shit, people look at me like, okay, is he Haitian? Is this Creole? What the fuck is he saying?
We got enough of you
yeah,
here.
Yeah. It was funny though. Like last week when I was in Switzerland, you know what's crazy about Switzerland? They're so rich. They treat French people the way Americans treat Mexicans. Like we were in Switzerland, in Geneva, which is like 2 miles from the French border. And we went to a French grocery store because it was a little bigger. And then our Swiss friend was like, don't do that, because when you go buy in France, it raises the price of their stuff. And then French people can't afford it. And I was like, do you realize that French people are way richer than Canadians are? Like they're,
yeah.
But compared to Swiss, like everyone except for Saudis are poor.
They felt bad for the French. Yeah. The poor French won't be able to afford groceries.
Yeah.
The World Cup winning French.
Like they were telling me the minimum wage in Switzerland is $35 an hour.
God damn. Wow, that's livable.
Minimum wage.
What do you think the rent is like over there?
It must be crazy. Like the house we were staying in was, It was worth like a little over $1 million, and it's a small house. But then again, like Toronto, houses are all over $1 million.
Yeah, but I think their minimum wage is higher than ours, right?
Toronto?
Oh, our minimum wage sucks.
Yeah.
Like, oh, really? Toronto sucks?
Oh, it's bad, man. Canada in general, there's nothing over $20. Nothing. Not even close. Probably like not even, I don't even, 15 probably. But yeah, 35 is like, seems, I don't know.
But you have to live in Switzerland. That's the trade-off. I don't know if you want that.
Yeah, that's probably
they're
true.
So, the crazy thing is, like, I love countries like this. They just leave their, like, you'd go to the store and there are bikes just in front of the store. They're not locked up. My friend wouldn't lock his door. Sometimes he'd go out to the store and leave the door open, like in a sitcom. And I was like, we were at the cafe, like in front of his house, for like an hour, and his door was open. I was like, shouldn't you close your door? And he was like, no, it's good. There's circulation. And I was like, couldn't you just like open a window on the second floor?
No, criminals might come into the window. Yeah.
Isn't it fucked up though? That we're like, then you have to live in Switzerland. You're like, they leave their doors open. No one's trying to steal their shit.
Yeah, but everyone's Swiss.
Why would you want to live there?
The only thing that was fucking crazy that I thought was funny, like I was like, there's no crime here, and there's no crime. And kids are like, it almost looks like Stranger Things. Like you see these little kids like driving BMXs and they're all hanging out and everyone looks like they're having fun. So I was like, there's no crime here? And there was like, no, we had a crime spree. Some guy was slashing everyone's tires.
That's the crime spree?
That was the crime spree. And I was like, who was it? And they were like, well, the guy that has the shop has cameras. And they saw it's one of the villagers that he lost his job. So like he sees all of these fucking rich assholes and he doesn't have money and his wife pays for everything. So he just fucking hates all of the Swiss people. So he was just fucking slashing their tires.
What a weird. Yeah.
And then when they confronted him, he blamed Satan.
What? I like his style.
He said he was a Satanist. He said Satan told me to slash. You know how fucking scary that is?
Respect my religion. Yeah. Satan told me to slash these tires. This is my ritual.
They need to import some criminals there. Show them what real crime's all about.
Sign them down, we go up there, really we take over.
I'm done.
They have a Swiss mob.
Yeah. Yeah, they could do that.
I wonder if they have
that.
Like...
They could do that.
You know they have Swiss Army knives? It'd be amazing if they had a Swiss Army gun.
They do.
Like,
how does that look?
That'd be crazy. Don't you probably could. Like
foldable.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Isn't it the Hells that runs stuff in Switzerland?
The Hells Angels?
Not the Hells, but a biker gang, I heard.
I don't think so. Switzerland
that place isn't built for.
Were they on bicycles? Like I don't think it's like, not the same kind of biker
gang. Yeah,
it's
not built for that.
Yeah, no,
no, no. That'd be fucking weird. Yeah, something funny happened over the weekend. I was doing a show at the third floor, and after the show, it was with three comics, and we were having like dinner and shisha, and it was me, three other comics, and one of the comics was Peter Bowen, who we had here on the show.
Okay.
And Peter tells me, hey, man, because we were just talking about, like, the festivals and representation. And he goes, you know, some places are trying. He goes, like, for example, I don't know if you know this, he goes, but the festival I found out, the Just for Last Festival, because there was a lot of, like, black artists that didn't have a lot of places to play. So they gave them a festival, Zoo Fest. So I says this, and I'm just sitting there for a few moments. And I look at him and go, they gave it for black artists? He's like, yeah. And, like, and they called it Zoo Fest? And then he's looking at me. He's like this, like, oh yeah, that's fucking suspicious. And I'm like, bro, there's no way they did it. That's insane, bro. No. What other names were what other names were fucking pitched? Donkey Kong Country. This is crazy. There's no way that this happened, okay? And he's like, oh no, you're right. It was for black people and gay people. And I go, there's no way they made a festival called Zoo Fest. And it's like, we got blacks, we got gays. It's too crazy. Yeah. It's too fucking crazy. Yeah, that's what he was talking about.
But he's insane. Because Zoo Fest has been around forever. And it's just.
No, they gave it apparently now like to new management to promote those shows. That's what he told me. I don't know how right it is because it doesn't make sense in my head. You can't give a festival a name at that.
Zoo Fest has always been sort of like the fringe festival of the festival. Like, and it used to be, they did it for a while. It was called Zoo Fest. And then most of the Americans didn't like being part of Zoo Fest. They want to be part of Just for Laughs. So now the Americans are in off JFL. So Zoo Fest was just for French people. And then all of the fags, but all of like the theater folk are part of Zoo Fest. So whatever, if Just for Laughs doesn't want you, they'll put you in Zoo Fest.
Okay. So last year when I tried to get JFL, they gave me off JFL.
Yeah, off JFL is that means they respect you.
And
yeah.
I did. Oh, I took offense to it and I said no.
That means they respect you. Yeah. If they give you ZooFest, that means they think you're a fucking contortionist.
They think you're black. Yeah. I should have asked you guys, man. Maybe not you. I should have asked you guys. Why did, I didn't know. I took offense to it. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Oh. My thing was just when he was saying it, I go, there's no way this is, because someone would have noticed. Because I'm zero woke, and right away in my head it clicked. I go, this is unacceptable. So there's no way no one else would have clicked.
I had,
like, this is the U Black Festival.
I had really one of those moments in Europe once when I was talking about our gay village in Montreal. Like, I was telling these gay guys, and I was like, in France, people don't respect you guys. I was like, but in Montreal, we fucking love our gays. We love them so much, we have a village. And he was like, you put your gays in a village? He thought it was like a fucking reserve, like a native. Yeah, like, we put the gays, okay, gays, if you live in this part, we'll pay your electricity.
It happened to me in Greece, too. Yeah. I couldn't explain it.
Yeah.
And I was like, think of it like a neighborhood. And they're like, that doesn't make it better. Yeah. Nothing that you're saying makes this sound the way you think it sounds.
I thought it sounded amazing for gay people.
It comes out and like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, you guys can live anywhere here? No.
No, they got a village. Oh, that's cool. I mean, they could live anywhere, but they know what's best for them. It sounds crazy when you leave. We do a lot of weird things here that they're cool, but if you try to explain to someone on the outside...
You sound so fucking evil.
Insane. Even now, the new laws in English, the new French laws, did you see some of them last week where there's certain websites that if you're not a historic Anglo... They tell you not to read it in English. You got to check out the French version.
Really?
Yeah, I posted last week. I was losing my mind. I go, this is crazy.
How stupid is
that? What a waste of time and money. Like, who gives a fuck?
But it's completely insane. I don't even know how that helps the culture.
Yeah.
Like, if you're French, you're not allowed to read in English. How the fuck does that help the culture?
Yeah.
I don't know. Doesn't that make you, like, even as a grown-up, if someone tells you, you can't do this, you'll be like, that's all I'm going to read.
That's what
I said.
Yeah.
They should actually say, you can't, if you're English... You can't read the English part. or if you're English, you can't read the French part. And then, English will be like, those fuckers, I'm going to learn French. Yeah.
What are they hiding in there?
My retaliation is on my Patreon now. I switched it, you know, the lowest tier, the $3. Now everything that's French, video and audio, you could get it all on the lowest, the audio tier. Mm. Everything's there. May just make it easier to access French stuff. So if you weren't sure, take the lowest one and watch French stuff. If you're English, try to learn French.
Yeah.
I'm doing the opposite.
You know what messed me up on, like, so you take the flight somewhere in Canada and they're always reading the English and French safety announcements and they make you take your headphones out to listen to it. I'm always like, this is crazy because they would let you be on the plane even if you didn't speak either one of those languages.
Yeah.
So there's like no point to this either. Like, why? You want me to hear one of them because there are two official languages. Cool. But also, I could just not speak either one of these and you wouldn't, like, kick me off. So I guess it's not important what you're saying.
Mm. Or if we're all being very honest. Even if you hear the messages.
You're not listening.
I'm not saving this plane.
Yeah, that's right.
If this bitch is going down, I'm not the one to save us. Like, they're not going to jump on my back and we're going to fly out of there. Like, that's not happening.
Yeah. Even if you sit in the emergency exit, like, could you help us? We're like, yeah.
But everyone is going to try to open that door.
Yeah, and I'm going to be drinking the whole flight. Yeah. I don't think I'm your guy anymore. If I sit here, you shouldn't serve me.
My mother-in-law is so fucking honest. My ex-mother-in-law, I should say. Once we flew to Florida and she was in the exit row, and she told the lady that she wouldn't help anyone. Because she was like,
I love that.
She was like, I'm not strong enough to help people. She was like, no, but would you open the door? I don't think I'm strong enough. And I was like, shut the fuck up. Just shut the fuck. So they made her leave the fucking seat. I paid extra for her to get that fucking seat. Legroom. Yeah, and she told the truth.
But did they give you the money back?
No, they never give you the money back.
They never do, but I find that odd though.
Yeah.
Then don't charge me more. You should charge me less because I'm doing a job for you.
That's a good point.
I'm on call.
Yeah.
I think if the plane goes down, they might send you a check after. Yeah. Like, here's $50. Thanks for
opening
the
door. But I'm dead.
Yes, it's true.
Did you see the plane last week, the Chinese one, where some psychopath opened the door?
No.
I thought you couldn't open them.
You saw the video of
that? Yeah, I didn't think you could open those doors.
Yeah, check it out. So some lunatic opened the door and then they're
like, not in the air.
In the air and they're in the chairs like this, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Come on.
Sure wasn't. Chinese flight door opened.
Yeah, Singapore, they said some shit like that.
I thought it would be, like, impossible just because of the fucking...
Pressure.
Yeah, the pressure.
Yeah, I've heard all this, too, but I'm beginning to think it's all lies. Yeah, we're the Chinese. Yeah, that's what it is. They're super strong.
Sorry, I mean, Chris and I just had a podcast last week
where we
interviewed a flat earther, so everyone's questioning all this shit.
David Weiss?
Yeah, yeah,
Yeah, I had him on the Penthouse podcast. Yeah, he's a lunatic.
Oh, he's a fucking quack, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. So everyone's like, now I'm finding out that you can open a door in the air and on a flight. Everything seems not real anymore to me. So
the part where he lost me my podcast and Poseidon kept laughing at that same section was he's
talk
like
all the dicks.
Not on the moon. He's like, it's not real. And then he says he just shows some like you know a cutout.
It's my favorite part.
Just a circular thing. And he's like, how do you know that's not the moon? And I was like, okay, bro, that's preposterous. Like at this point, this is insane. Yeah.
Not
like you're not even trying.
Yeah. Oh, I wish I knew you had him on.
Yeah.
The way that you replied was amazing too.
Put the video of the airplane.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see this bad boy.
Yeah.
Fuck, the studio is so much better than ours.
Can we get volume?
Or
see.
I don't speak Chinese.
My bro.
Actually opened a plane door mid-flight.
Windy.
12 passengers.
That's not that windy.
That
doesn't look that windy.
Good morning.
You're actually kind of right, though.
Yeah, it looks
you're
a little
actually
windy.
Right.
That is fucking.
That's terrifying.
It looks like a roller coaster, to be fair.
Yeah.
But they made it.
And let's go ahead and go right to the video
that's
now because it's.
How the hell did that happen?
In South Korea.
Just popped it open.
33-year-old passenger opened the emergency exit door.
Because. Oh, fuck. Look at
that's
that.
Wild.
The white guy.
He's chilling.
He looks
he's
like
chilling.
He's
actually, you're right, Mike. He's chilling.
He's drunk.
That's.
Oh, but now they put a plastic tape.
Okay, good.
The yellow tape.
That's
so.
Not opening.
That's nuts.
You know how it is when you see that
no
yellow tape.
No signs he had been drinking. I hate how they try to fucking blame alcohol.
Never blame
for
the beers,
everything.
Man. Go fuck yourself.
Oh, and look at. Is that Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Yeah.
Where?
What the fuck happened to his eyes?
Do you something happened? What is he?
Hey, man,
for sexual assault or something?
I think he was, but he was like the 1900th person. So by the time he got canceled, people were like, who cares?
That's I never see him anymore though.
Yeah,
he was a great actor.
Yeah, he was in OJ. Did you see the OJ thing?
He was, he played radio.
He was so good. Yeah, radio.
He went full retard and it worked.
Yeah.
By the way, just going back to the...
Remember?
Yeah, whenever...
They said you're not supposed to, but he did it.
Whenever I have a friend that gets a job on radio, I always send him a picture of Cuba Gooding Jr.'s character, Radio, and I go, this is what your fans look like.
That's fine. Oscar winners?
Yeah. They're all leaks. You got to take Radio, and you got to take Dustin Hoffman from Rain Man and start the Avengers.
Fuck. By the way, sorry, I'm rewinding a bit here on the flight. The you guys want to know the reason why he opened the door?
Yeah,
he goes.
Let's guess.
Okay, guess.
What do you think?
I think he was like, "There's COVID in here, right?" And
okay.
He was like, let it out.
Close.
Racist, really? But we're getting there.
No.
That might have been because there were snakes on the plane.
Okay, fuck, that's better.
What do you think over there?
That's good. I don't know. He's just like. I've had enough of this plane.
It's in between. Okay, hold on. The passenger on Asiana Air. I accidentally muted.
Did you mute yourself?
No. The entire audio, but for like 5 seconds.
Okay. It's only 5 seconds.
I'll fix it.
Yeah. Oh, no. Anyways, it doesn't matter. The passenger on Asiana Airlines flight who opened an emergency exit door as the plane came into land in South Korea told police he did it because he was feeling suffocated and wanted to disembark quickly.
Okay.
You're the closest for sure.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I'm going to say I've done the same thing in a school bus.
What?
When I was in kindergarten, not kindergarten, I think grade one. We went to a field trip.
You opened the emergency exit in the back?
Because I wanted...
The emergency exit in the back?
Yeah,
you were
the bus.
You trying to get into the kids, weren't you?
No.
Yeah.
That was later on.
That was
later. Look
at these sexy bastards.
I was so horny. You ran into the back of the bus.
So I'm just picturing.
Where's the park seat to sit here?
I'm just picturing. Which is fucking. It was a field trip, and I loved the place so much. It was like a Halloween field trip, and I loved the place.
Halloween. Field trip.
Yeah, I love the place so much. I wanted
what
to go.
Make it
those exist.
They had like those the maze and the haystacks and shit. It was
He's
really
growing
fun.
Growing dressed like a kid.
When I was a kid.
A Halloween field trip.
Yeah. And
what?
And Socrates. Yeah.
They never had Halloween themed field trips.
Yeah, they did. Well, no, for Halloween, and then they had one.
Oh, sorry, because I thought you were talking about Christmas. Obviously.
Was it Halloween or was it just like for fall? Anyways, it doesn't matter.
I don't think they had a Halloween.
Because the way you're describing it has nothing to do with
Well,
Halloween.
They had pumpkins and shit, so I'm guessing it's Halloween. I remember pumpkins, haystacks, and me opening an emergency door.
Did
that's
you go
what I remember.
Apple picking?
Yeah, that's Thanksgiving. That's fall.
Oh,
that's,
you know what?
That's a lot of things.
Yeah, it's possible it may have been apple picking.
And maybe you just ate like pumpkin pie.
Oh yeah, maybe.
If he ever gets like I don't know, if somebody ever accuses him of any crime, he's going to jail whether he committed or not.
He'll be like, oh yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and I'll just say something random, and the judge can be like, that doesn't make any sense. Are you lying? Yeah. It's my natural state of being. I don't know. I know I shouldn't. I didn't do anything, but I may have raped her. What?
Yeah, the cops that first find you for the eyewitness, they're so excited at the beginning. Like, he's a great witness. And then they keep asking you questions. And then
the story keeps changing. This falls apart so fast. By the end of it, he's like, look, bro, I'm a human being. What do I know about Tyrannosaurus Rex? The guy's like, did you see the car accident or not? Sir, what are you talking about?
Like, when I had a guy today ask me the weirdest thing. My manager called me, and he goes, you're not going to believe the thing that someone asked. There's a guy that used to be a lawyer. He sends an email, and he goes, look, I'm going to court. Because I was working on a case, and the city inspector, I called her an incompetent bitch, and he goes, so here's the thing, I figured a way I can get out of it. I'm going to tell the judge that Mike is my friend, and he hangs out in a bar near my house, and we go there, we drink, and then I was talking to Mike about my case, and I was talking about the lady, and then Mike said she was a stupid bitch, and then he was trying to say that I told him she's a dumb fucking bitch, you should call her a dumb bitch, and then he was like, look, I know this is perjury, and I know perjury is wrong, but technically it's only perjury if you go under oath. He goes, well, Mike wouldn't have to go under oath. I'd be the one saying it. So I'd be the one committing perjury, not Mike. And he goes,
how would that help?
And he goes, perjury is when you want to trick the judge. And he goes, I don't want to trick the judge. I want to educate the judge into knowing that this lady is a dumb bitch.
That's amazing.
What a fucking crazy man. Christ.
But how would it help?
I have no idea.
The point isn't who influenced him. The point is that he called her a dumb bitch.
Yeah. And the thing he wanted to say that I'd said she's a dumb bitch. She's a piece of garbage. She's such a stupid whore. You should call her a whore. So he wanted to say, look, I only called her a dumb bitch. And Mike wanted me to call her a stupid fucking whore. And I was like, how is that going to help? And he was like, and he even said in the thing, he was like, I can say that, I'm going to say that Mike said she's a stupid whore. Like that little kid's mom, the kid I went to court with.
What?
And I was like, why would I fucking bring up someone I went to court with a drunk guy in a bar?
I love how he thought, like, I got this.
He should clip this out and send it to that lady. You call her a dumb bitch five times right there.
No, but it's just so funny. He's like, don't worry, honey. I know how I'm going to get away with this.
Yeah.
He's so, like, let me call Mike Ward's manager.
Do you think your management replies or they ghost that guy?
No, my manager always replies.
That's great.
But I asked him, I was like, but why is he going to court? Like, what? And then he was like, I don't know. So he sent me the email and I read the email and I have no idea. Because calling someone a dumb bitch technically isn't illegal.
Right. Yeah, not yet.
But I don't know like what he did exactly. Right. Like, there's got to be other shit. Because, like, you don't go to court.
After the beating.
Yeah.
I called her a dumb bitch.
I broke her legs. Yeah. I killed her cat. Then I called her a dumb bitch.
I can't argue the cat thing because it's a video of me drowning it. So I could argue the bitch thing.
Technically, I was standing inside her shower when I called her a dumb bitch. But, you know.
He should use the Swiss argument. The devil made me do it. The devil named Mike. That's so insane that you have better emails than I get.
That's
wild. And then Michelle, like, because he was like, he told me, he was like, when you were going through your depression, I didn't send you any of the shit that I was getting. And I was like, oh, you have to send me all of it.
And
now.
It was all like this crazy shit,
He didn't send it any of it yet, but I want to see. It's always fucking weirdos with a free speech thing, but it has nothing to do with free speech.
Yeah.
Right? Calling a fucking lady a dumb bitch. How is that free speech?
But they're the kind of people that will be like, so I thought we were in a free country, and they're telling me I can't key my ex-girlfriend's car. Yeah. Are we in a free country or not? What?
You fucking Nazis.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Hitler.
It's the same arguments my father has. Where's my right to discriminate?
That's what he told me last time. His father told me, like, I go,
where's my right to discriminate?
No, even worse. He goes, because we're talking about racism, and then I go, you know, like, you have to develop. Like, after, like, now you're in the modern age, people know your actual skin, your race doesn't determine anything. It's you treat people individually because that's the way you should treat them because everyone's different. He goes, that's not true. He goes, that's fucking crazy. That's discriminatory. And I go, what are you talking about? He's like, I want to be racist. He goes, so, well, you're discriminating against my right to be racist. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm not. This is crazy. This is not an argument.
Logically, I guess. Yeah.
He's like, you're discriminating against me. It's my right to be racist. I go, but no. You realize how you being racist is only going to continue. He's like, no, but it's my right. I'm racist. He goes, why are you discriminating against me? He has a point somewhere in the middle. Like, let him. I do agree he should be allowed to be racist.
Definitely.
But at the same time, the consequence that come with it fuck up your whole thing.
I kind of miss it. Like the racism, if there isn't any action other than just saying stupid racist shit.
I don't mind that. That's funny.
That's just funny to me. Like, because it's just dummies. You listen to them and you go, these dumb motherfuckers. But the problem is you get two dumb motherfuckers together and then they talk their shit. Then they drink a little and then they go out and they burn shit.
Yeah. Then they go out, they buy sheets.
Yeah.
It's like, I got an idea. I don't know, but the discrimination thing is weird. Now I'm watching this country go to shit too. Everything is fucked up. What a weird time to be alive, bro. We're witnessing the fall of civilization.
Is it weirder than normal? But every generation seems to think it's like, oh, this is fucking crazier than
And it
before.
Does. It goes down, and then there's an up, right? You overcome something, and then it goes up. But now it looks like, because the way everything is technology, we're moving more towards distracting people. So it looks like the down is going to surpass our lifespans. So we might not see the up again. The next generation or the one after might see it, but I don't think we're going to see the up again. I think we're steadily declining.
I don't know. I'm very worried that, like, everyone's saying the sky is falling every generation, and then it never, like, I'm with you. I believe we're seeing the fucking decline for sure, but I remember hearing about this before, and I'm like,
I've always been an optimist. Like, even, like, for, the environment, whenever people say we can't do this, I'm always like, someone smart will figure a way to fix everything. I'm one of those guys. Like, instead of, like, when people are like, oh, we're going to have to move to another planet, I'm like, no, we'll just find a way to fuck it. We might have to live in a bubble on this planet, but, you know, it'll be good. It'll be a cool bubble.
Yeah, say goodbye to the whales, whatever, and then we can just live in a smaller bubble. It's fine.
How many times a year do you see whales? Never.
So every week.
Just fucking every put week VR record goggles this and you go, this is amazing. Yeah.
Every week at this recording.
I have a crazy video for you guys.
Oh, before you get to the video, would you find that bad, not for everyone to be forced to move, but for us to start colonizing planets? It's kind of badass.
I think we could stop having so many kids each on this planet and just slow that down a little bit. We can stay here a little longer.
First of all, I'm not going to sit here for anti-Chinese or Indian racism. That's not what this podcast is about. Okay? Well, but you don't want to have kids?
No.
At all?
No.
Zero.
Zero.
So because you don't want to have kids, you think this mentally retarded man shouldn't be allowed to either? Is that what you're trying
to say? This one in this room? Not all? Just this one?
Just this one.
Yes. I agree. He should not be allowed.
What are you picking up besides?
Speaking of whales, dude, I saw this insane video. A whale swallowed two people on a canoe.
This sounds like the plot for Pinocchio.
Yeah.
No. This is a legit happened.
Okay, and you're not gonna show it to us. You'll just watch it, and then we'll look at your reaction.
No. Hold on.
That's good.
It was an old man and a wooden puppet.
All right.
How'd they get out?
Do you want
a whale swallowing two people on a canoe? There isn't a whale in that fucking little lake. Hold on.
I hope it's a fake. Oh my god, that is a whale.
That looks fake.
That's fake.
No.
That may be fake.
That's so sick.
Oh, that's
fake. Apparently it's real.
It can't be because of the way where it is. It doesn't look like that's like a whale territory. Yes.
Whale wouldn't live in that.
That's like
and there was multiple angles to this. Why isn't it loading now? Why is it pissing me off? Why is it doing
it? Figure it out that you're trying to ruin this. What is it? What's the source?
Twitter.
No, but where'd they get it from? Like, what is it, a news source? Who's talking about it? Just people on Twitter? Because this feels like the news would have picked this up.
Yeah.
I'd liked it. Fuck, hold on.
Why don't you Google it? Whale, Jew, canoe.
What?
Whale, Jew, canoe.
Yeah. Top stories. On,
So ASUSA. The whale was hungry for Jewish people?
ASUSA.
ASUSA, which is a credible news organization.
Whiskey Riff, or Outdoor Life.
Whiskey Riff. And, I get all my fucking news from Whiskey Riff.
Yeah.
Outkick.
Okay, so no credible news source, all fake. Okay. Check Jew on a Canoe.
Jew on a Canoe.
Yeah, it's a good song.
Oh my god.
Oh my god, it's one of the top searches.
Yep.
This is an actual song.
Yeah. Welcome to my
BLP
world.
Kosher.
That's it, BLP Kosher.
Do I play this?
Hasidic Jewish boy who likes to rap.
What if it gets?
Is he like a Mattis Yahoo type guy or Mattis Yahoo? But
he's something.
Okay, so he's not any good.
No, I mean he's entertaining.
Do you want me to show this?
You at least show what he looks like.
Oh, so he's like a fucking almost Beetlejuice type.
Yeah, wow.
I like a Jew in a canoe.
Yeah.
Like he's actually Hasidic.
He's a trailer Jew, yeah.
Oh, he's geez. A trailer Jew.
I've never seen a trailer Jew.
I've never seen it either. The hair, everything. That's it's so insane. Unique. I really like it. He's got his own canoe.
But he's exactly like the white rapper on Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah, it's like that, but Jewish, yeah.
He got braided butter bups.
Yeah, it's very cool. Oh,
so he's just a regular guy pretending to be Jewish.
No, he's Jewish.
It looks like horns.
It's very cool. Yeah, he entertains me a lot. He seems like a nice kid, but just Trailer Park.
What's up with the speed hump?
He looks like he's making fun of himself, though.
No, he's not. He's real.
For real?
Yeah.
Can you put, is there volume if we have...
You want me to put it?
Yeah, put a little bit low.
I got nothing.
Oh, yeah. Put it a bit higher. No, it's the... I see Manischewitz over there on that side.
Can you guys hear?
Yeah. No, put a bit
not
higher.
Really.
Yeah, I got it.
What about there on the main console? Isn't it
now? Now I can hear us super loud and the music a little.
What the fuck?
He's got a very like a Bubba from Forrest Gump.
Yeah,
fight.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's entertaining.
Yeah.
I love his hairstyle. It's fucking entertaining. Yeah.
I think I need
BLP kosher.
If I didn't have the video, I love it because of the video. If I didn't have the video and just listening, I'd be like, I don't get it. But watching him, I go, all right, man, keep making this.
Keep doing this. Yeah, he's got another one even better than that. He's got another better song. Yeah, yeah. There's he's breaking out now. People are liking him.
Yeah.
He's gonna do some collabs and shit.
I have such bad musical taste, but even I wouldn't probably listen to that too much.
Well, if it's your type of music,
it's
not my type of music. It's not my. This rap for this generation. That kind of stuff is not for me.
Yeah, I recently found out that I think I'm just like an early 2000s country guy.
Country.
I grew up on a farm, man. I found myself listening to it the other day. I haven't listened to it in 12 years because my wife hates it. And then I was listening. Some shit came on, and I was like, this is nostalgic for me. So I started putting on a playlist and I'm like, I think I just like this shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
that's how I am. Like, I really like country music. I didn't even know I liked country music. And I started liking country music when I bought the house in the country. Yeah. And now, like, when all of my playlists, you know, Spotify, you have Daily Mix 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Daily Mix 1 to 5 is just country music.
Get the fuck out of here.
That's all it is. And I don't know if I only listen to country music because that's all I listen to. So I don't know. It's like a vicious circle. Like I don't even like it, but that's all it fucking plays.
But you're good in the country. When we've been together, like you like the ATVs, you like all that.
Yeah.
And we were invited by our friend Tom Green.
Oh, really?
Yeah, me and you to go.
Yeah, he lives
to his farm
in Ontario.
What's
right?
Tom like? Is he crazy to hang out with?
Yeah, he was fun to hang out with. He's
into outdoorsy stuff.
Loves outdoorsy stuff.
That's cool.
But has a cool mule now. That's basically a horse. Like has all kinds of shit over there. It's like super nice.
And he probably like missed like when he was in LA for so long. So he probably missed all of the nostalgia being a kid in Canada, going to the cabin. Yeah. So his life now is probably. Like what he dreamt of when he was like 8 years old.
Yeah, and he knows everything. It's not like he's not there part time. Like that's his compound is there, and he likes me to come out. He loves the city. He wants to come back. He loves the club, but he loves being there. He's like, and he was saying, he's like, you and Mike gotta come and check it out. We'll do a podcast and we'll see.
How far is he from Ottawa?
He said he's out between Ottawa and Toronto. He's not that far. That's why I was like, I'm gonna speak to you during the time when you know Toronto and all that. We'll see what the schedule's like. It's gonna be a little tight.
Because Michelle was asking me if we wanted to drive or fly, and I told him we were gonna fly. But if he hasn't bought the tickets
we
can drive. Yeah,
we could go a bit earlier, go hang out there, do a podcast, and then go to Toronto. Okay.
He's the reason I got my TV show.
Oh shit!
Like, well, one of the major reasons because I remember hearing a story about how he got his first show. He was like at a meeting with like 10 MTV executives. And at the end of the meeting, he like covered himself in shaving cream, started rolling around on the table, screaming, I want to be on MTV. Right? Like just fucking bizarre ass shit. Just covering himself. I want to be on MTV. And they gave him the thing. because he's weird. So I'm like, I got to be weird. Like, literally, this is in my head so much. Chris and I are going around to all these different networks in LA and New York pitching, like, probably 8-9 times. So I was like, I'm ready for, like, weird, random shit. Because anyone can do a card trick, right? So I was like, we're trying to sell this magic show. Just be weird. And for Chris, I didn't tell any of this to Chris because whatever. And then at one point in the True TV meeting, he was like, they're like, Chris, we understand you're, you know, social media presence. You're a cool looking guy. Wes, what is this, like, your sidekick? Like, and he's like, no, he's not my sidekick. He's like, he's a magician. He performs all over. He's just a weird guy. And then they're like, what do you mean? Can you give us an example? And I was like, well, now's my time, right?
Uh-huh. Oh, they fucking, like, he threw you like a softball.
Yeah,
pitch.
Yeah, set it up.
Yeah, yeah, he had no idea. So I'm like, hang on. And I stand up and I get on my chair and I stand there and I start zipping my pants. And everyone in the room is like, what the fuck is about to happen right now? I drop my pants and I'm wearing tights, like skin tights I had custom made. And they all have Chris's face on them and just all over my whole tights. And everyone's like, I think they're thinking it was going to be a magic trick. They're like, what the fuck? I'm like, well, you don't have a tights with your friend's face on them? And they're and then it's like quiet, and then everyone just starts laughing. And I was like, all right, this went well. But it was just like, I'm like, Tom Green was as weird as possible to make sure they didn't forget it. And I'm like, nothing's gonna be weirder than me getting up on the boardroom chair, taking my, like, slowly taking my pants off. I'm like, that's gonna be weird. And it's only gonna go one or two
while
ways.
That's happening, he looks, Chris is like sucking someone off. Like, oh, oh, that's way better.
That's way better. Story, Chris asked me. Yeah, no, I really credit to that because, like, we walked out of that meeting and, like, there's no way they're gonna forget it, and they're not.
Was like, who was in that meeting? It was you, Chris, and were
me and Chris, and then two of the people from our production.
Okay.
Diga.
Were they like, because since Chris is your friend, he was like, hey, that was funny. But since they're like, I know those guys, they're very like business. Like, were they like, what the fuck was that? Like, so, why'd you almost pull your dick out during the Me Too era?
So this is our eighth time, this one, right? And so we've already done different trades and I've done something weird in every one of them, but nothing this yet, right? And it just because it went well, they were like, and we didn't have any more. So what were they going to say? Don't do it on the next one.
Yeah.
We're done. This is our last one. But like, I did pull one. I did do a trick to a guy at Comedy Central, and it was actually not a trick. I made him pick a card, and then I was like, look at it, and he turns it over, and the card just says "fuck you" on it. And that didn't get a laugh. And when that trick,
really?
It should have.
He thought it was directed to him.
Exactly. He took it as if I just said, and then they're like, Wes, what the hell? Of all the tricks, you do one trick, that's the one you do? I'm like, normally that's so funny.
He picked it. It was either that or the N-word.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You got off lucky.
Yeah.
But no, so it just, one time it backfired. The rest of the time, they were fine with my weirdness. But this one, True TV, they were like, this is perfect. Because like True TV, they have Impractical Jokers. I'm like, they're ready for this weird ass. If you watch Impractical Jokers, even a new season, they say some shit that you're like, we're still saying that on TV?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. Mm. I appreciate those guys.
Me too.
They still fuck around like crazy.
Oh, yeah. They say some shit you're like, whoa. Like, they'll come up with scenarios where, like, one guy will have to go pretend to be in an argument with his daughter because she's going to marry a black guy or something. And he starts that's yelling amazing. At her. He's like, what? You can't do that? And he's, like, looking at people like, right, right? And they're all like, you know? And
it's
they
fucking
still
hilarious.
Do that shit. Like, it's crazy. So I was like, if anyone's going to be like, whatever, this would be funny, I don't know. It worked.
They took over True TV, though, right? The Jokers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's like now when I listen to, whenever I'm in Florida, that's all the plays.
Yeah.
And it's just impractical Jokers the whole time. Yeah. And the first time we had you on, you were telling us how, since it was so fucking popular, whenever your show come on, people are like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. Four fucking white guys. Like, no, fuck you, get out of here. Like, these are the real guys. You're just other, we're like, oh, we're trying.
And I didn't get why people were like that, but now, like, when I listen to that channel, if anything else comes on, I get angry.
Yeah.
They could have fucking, like, a Oscar-winning movie. Yeah. I'd be like, go fuck yourself, Schindler's List.
I want the jokes.
Garbage.
100%.
Yes, you're hilarious.
I want the Central Park 4.
It's true, man. Like, I don't know. I feel like Chris even said too, he's like, if we were three of us or five of us, we would not have got the same hate. We're just like four guys, like, just look like we're trying to replace these other guys.
Yeah, that's what it probably felt like to them.
Yeah, for sure. Even though, like, you know,
these guys are making a kill.
You would have needed them to, like, be like, that's the thing. These are our buddies.
Okay, what's his name? Chris DiStefano, right? Chris DiStefano had a show called Backyard Bar Wars or some shit. It was the same as us. He had a similar time slot, made it the same time, but he's really good friends with Sal.
Yeah.
So Sal had the Jokers go on their show. And what do you know? That's the show everyone fucking liked. I'm like, can we get a crossover? We're just doing magic with these fucking guys? But
Yeah. You should have told us. We would have dressed him up like his double ganger, Sal Volcano.
Hey.
And it would have worked.
Oh, man.
How funny would that be if it's him? He's like, I'm Sal Volcano. I endorse this magic show.
And he doesn't pronounce it properly. I'm Sal Volcano. I'm Sal Volcano.
Sal Volcano.
From the Joker show.
Yeah. From the Practical Jokes sitcom. Series.
From the Practicing Jokers.
Yeah. I'm like, who's this guy?
Practicing.
He's the radio version. Of Sal.
You know, it's so crazy. Like, I don't know what you guys' goals are and everything, but, like, I...
Not die.
I would love to do another show. And I talked to Chris and stuff, and Ramsey's like, I would never. Like, he's like, I'm just like, I love this build-it-yourself YouTube. Like, he's like, I just make my own shit. And I just can't... He thinks the other thing's not good. And I still think there's a lot of good shit you can make on TV, you know? I don't know. Do you guys ever try?
Two things. Chris is actually working with us on another show, like another thing that we want to do, but it's not like that.
But he also hates it that apparently
we're five. But we're five guys.
Yeah, we're five guys.
We're five guys. So we're reinventing the wheel.
Wait, why wasn't I invited?
But I wanted to do a show like that. Like, let's say the Joker's like something crazy, but like no one... The sense of humor that I have and that Mike has, no one's gonna let us.
No one has balls.
Yeah, no one's gonna let us do that shit. Because we would do it if they would let us do what we wanted. It would be insane.
Right.
It would be worse than what you just said about that phone call about my daughter's marrying a black guy. But it's just, they won't let us do it.
But like, there's gotta be, you could probably just do it and post it somewhere. And if it's
good, but it's all effort. This guy's traveling the world.
Well, we can do it ourselves.
Give up all your other things.
Yeah,
give up
man.
All your other things.
Let's go trick people in a park.
Make money.
Yeah, let's go trick people in a park.
Give them up.
Let's go see racist things in a park, Mike. Why do you need a tour?
But you guys,
why do you need a camera?
Yeah.
The thing I like doing now, though, like I don't want to do TV, but the thing I like doing whenever I do interviews and they, because my French podcast is really big. They talk to me, what's the difference
between...
Like how
they get like a world record or something?
Yeah. But they'll ask me, how does it compare to TV? And I always tell them, like I actually pitched a show that was similar to my podcast years ago. But I pitched it and it didn't work and who cares. But I always mention that I pitched it to TV, but TV didn't want it because they were too stupid and radio was too stupid to buy it. And I told them I can make you millions of dollars if you buy this, and they said no. So I was like, fuck you, and I did it myself. So then when you listen to me, you're like, this guy's a fucking genius.
Yeah.
But I'm not. It's just a
I
fucking,
got inspired
yeah,
right there.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
sounded great.
But the actual truth is I just pitched it to one place and they're like,
you know what the problem is? I think that I can trick somebody into hiring me to be their host of their show or build a show around me. I've already done that once. I can trick them again. I know it. But building it myself, I think I just keep proving to myself that I people don't like me on the internet. You know what I mean? Like,
no one likes anyone.
But no, it feels sad though when you're like, why can't I build a following? I pop a viral video here or there, but like, where the fuck are the you know?
It's only you have to accept something that it's the timing. So if this was 10 years ago, someone like you with that talent and stuff, they'd be coming to you.
Yeah.
Now, because of the internet, it's changed the game, and these people are all scared to invest. They're also scared of you saying the wrong thing, and then they get... It's this whole fucking pussy shit. It's going to be very hard. You have to make stuff yourself.
But, like, dude, think about me, though. I'm middle class, average height, average weight, white. Why wouldn't... Like, where are you going to find another one like me?
Yeah.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Right?
Well, I mean, there are trailer parks around North America. There are.
I remember, though, the first time I was on American television, they aired the Nasty Show on Showtime. And I remember when I saw my set, it was the best set I'd ever had of any TV I've ever done.
Whoa.
But it went nowhere because I was like, fuck, if this would have aired on TV 20 years ago, it would have, like, I would have become...
Dice Clay.
Yeah. But now I'm doing a type of comedy that fucking, it was in the Hannah Gatsby era.
Right.
So they're like, why isn't this lesbian more woke? I was just an angry lesbian.
it's a different time. That's all it is. Yeah. But now you could still carve a niche yourself.
Well, the problem where I'm at right now, actually, is I'm way ahead of Magic right now. Like, and I've been saying this everywhere. Like, you could go on, pick a streaming platform, watch hundreds if not thousands of comedy specials. You cannot watch a Magic special. You cannot watch. Click, a magician walks on stage like I do every fucking weekend in front of an audience and
can
does an hour.
Can you do this on video, though? That hour, if I'm not there live, if I'm watching it, can it be as entertaining?
Yes. I self-posted one on YouTube in 2019. And with my audience size, got over 100,000 views. Right? And this is like 4 years ago. I did one before that. I posted by myself. On Amazon, on like whatever, like video on demand or whatever, it's like they paid me per click, whatever. I was like, oh, it's not doing that well. I took the clips of it, posted it on YouTube, fucking millions of views. Someone ripped it off Amazon, dropped it, not even just on a random ass site, 200,000 views.
God damn.
And like, I'm not fucking, especially then, I'm not even like close. I didn't have a TV show, no name at all. And this shit's popping because you people can't are thirsty find for magic. It. Mm. And I keep pitching people and they keep looking at me like they don't even understand what I'm saying. And I'm like, one day you're going to let somebody do it. I don't care if it's not me. They're going to do a comedy magic hour and they'll be like, have you seen this comedy magic special?
And you're going to kill yourself.
And I'm going to, yeah. No, I'm just going to release one and ride the coattails. I thought I could lead the charge, but apparently I got to ride coattails. That's fine. But I'm fucking swear in 5 years, it'll be standard for magicians to make a show and put it out like comedians do. But right now, no one fucking does it. So I'm very passionate about that part.
I think though, you should get like, since Chris has crazy money and he doesn't like me saying how fucking rich he is.
Yeah.
He's the richest person in Canada.
I remember there today, he was literally just burning it in the fire.
Really?
I'm like, yeah, ask him to stop doing that.
I don't think it's good for the environment. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, fuck the environment.
You know, I keep
like, what are you, Greta Thunberg? Shut the fuck up. And he just kept setting it on fire.
I keep trying to get him to like, you know, fund my ideas, right?
But because I think like for it to work, it'd be like if you played like a massive room, like a 3 or 4 thousand seater. That's like a beautiful theater to make it seem like a
big fucking thing.
Yeah, like the Met in New York or something, right. like a big Ooh. A big room.
That's a good idea.
I'm not
like
your
Radio
producer.
Radio City type place.
I'm not your producer, really, but if on. I was,
yeah.
I would. Put the money down, record it in Vegas where people are already looking for magic. You're going to have a lot of like magic enthusiasts around you. And I would fill the room at least 80% of black people.
Yeah. No. Obviously. Your front rows.
Yeah.
You definitely, you got to pick those. You want those to be good.
You know, excitement. Or any other immigrant too. Like even Greeks, we go crazy.
Yeah.
So that's what I would do if I was the producer. Vegas.
Yeah.
Big room. And very no ethnic crowd.
No whites.
Yeah, middle-aged white dads whose daughters just went off to college sitting there with their arms crossed. That's who you want in the front row, right?
You don't want that shit.
Yeah.
You want black people in the audience, but then when if you put it out like in movie theaters, you don't want them going to see it. Then you want the whites.
So you can sit quietly.
Yeah. I need to have more of a meeting about this. I don't know. I think that's the move, is probably to film it really sexy. I just am running into a part where I'm like backed up against all this new material I have, and I don't know if I can get an audience that quickly. Part of me is just thinking of fucking getting a room in Toronto that's 100 or 200, like a club.
Comedy bar.
And just filming it there, you know? Like, yeah, comedy bar's 100. Just do it there, and just to get it out there, because I'm sitting on 2 fucking hours of shit now, because we don't turn it over. Magicians don't. Some magicians do the same shit forever.
Because they could.
Mm. But I'm like, let's do the new thing, which is like just, comedians have set such a good precedent. I think if you're doing illusions and you're fucking Dove Fireball, David Copperfield, chest hair, whatever, glitter, if you're doing that kind of magic, maybe it won't work. But I know comedy magic will work. I know it will work because comedy works so well.
Yeah.
And the magic's fine. I don't know.
And you guys like on Netflix, a lot of the magic shows work really well, but they're never in front of an audience.
No, they're always
so just
magic.
Dudes in the street. Yeah.
Yeah. That's because that's David Blaine set that example before him.
Yeah,
no one
then,
did it.
But that's everyone. How TV is. TV just imitates whatever works.
So I need somebody famous to do it first.
No, you got to do it on YouTube.
I think you got to do it first. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the move then. I think I'm going to film it this summer and just get it out there because it fucking needs to happen, man. Because I'm literally like, this is so obvious to me.
I can be there and I will genuinely be shocked.
Yeah.
There'll be real, it's going to be a real reaction.
Can I tell this camera? Just right on you, close up.
It's very shocking.
It'll be great.
Nice. I'm going to come to your neck of the woods in October. I'm booking my hour in English across Canada. So October, I'm looking for Toronto.
That'd be awesome.
We'll hang out.
Hell yeah.
He's going to be there. I'm going to be with him too next month for his show.
Shit, yeah. This is good stuff. I like it. All right. Probably you guys come to me. This is good.
Yeah, sure. What do you do normally without us there?
Nothing. I'm sitting and waiting the next time I see you.
And then you fly out a lot, right? You don't.
Yeah, I come out every 2 weeks just because, like, Chris and I do our podcast here, and it's easier for me to get actually, not saying that a lot. I don't know why it's easier for me. He should come to me, but no, it's just.
Well, no, because the whole studio is here.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm sick of that. Let's move the studio. I don't want to come out every 2 weeks. It's getting tiresome. Yeah, I just run around because I'm always doing gigs and whatever, and I don't care. I fly. It's like there's an old saying, like if you have something to do, if you want something done, ask a busy person to do it. Mm. And that's kind of how Chris views. He's really nice about it, but that's kind of how we view my traveling. I'm already traveling so much. he's like, ah, what's another flight? And he's kind of right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mind. I'm like, ah, my bag's already fucking packed. I'll just go here tomorrow, stop by on my way to wherever. You know, so we kind of just treat it like that. And I'm okay with it. But every now and then I fucking hit a wall, dude. And I'm just like, I literally can't come. And he's cool. Every time I say that, he's like, yeah, I'm surprised you come as much as you do. But yeah, every 2 weeks until the end of time, I guess I'm coming here. Every 2 weeks.
Well, I didn't ask you. How was the trip finally?
It was fun. It was really fun.
Did you relax? Are your batteries recharged?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm super tired.
But, oh, fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
What trip was that
one? Switzerland.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Just because he has so much ahead of him, I was hoping that it would, like, recharge him a bit. Because he looked, yeah. You sent me a picture, and yeah. You fucking, it was like, no, you de-aged.
I was super happy. It was, okay, it was that's a lot why. Of fun.
It's happiness,
yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I'm in a new relationship, so it's always cool when you're with someone new.
And you're happy, like, you're having
yeah,
a good
yeah.
time.
Yeah, yeah. That's a nice change.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I was very, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I heard that was a big secret for a while or something. I didn't know. And then also,
yeah, no one knew except for him. But so me and my wife separated like a year ago. Mm-hmm. And then I met someone a couple months ago. And it was weird today. I saw my ex-mother-in-law. I hadn't seen her. And I talked to my ex. I was like, I want to talk to my mother-in-law just to explain shit. And then she was like, no, I when you talk to her, I want to be there. And then... Hmm. I just went to the house to drop something off, and then as I'm pulling into the driveway, I see her, like, dumping shit into the garbage bin, and I was like, should I just back up and leave? Like, and I almost did. Like, I put it in reverse, oh and God. Then with the Tesla, you hear the...
That's so funny!
So I saw it, I was like, hey! How are you? But I was so cool, because she... My ex had told me exactly what she told her mom.
Okay.
So, and half of it was fucking bullshit. So I just went with the lie.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Because she told me... Was
the lie making you look like a bad guy?
Yeah.
Oh, her mom, no.
Not
what
her,
an extra good guy that is, eh?
No, because her mom is like crazy religious. So she didn't want to tell her mom we were getting a divorce because we're married. So I was like, just blame me. Just blame me. And then she told her, yeah, we're getting a divorce.
He's been sleeping around with men.
And then the mom wouldn't talk to her. And then she then told her, she was like, look, it's not me. It's him. He doesn't want. And then as soon as she said it was me, then everything was cool. But my wife left me. So she left me. But I had to tell the mom that I left her.
Wow.
Yeah. But then, like, we started talking. And then she was like, could you give her another chance? And then I told her kind of the truth. I was like, look, okay, here's the thing. She left me. And then, but then she wants to come back, but I don't want her.
This is a
Poseidon
story here.
Yeah.
He started on one side.
But that's what happens. He's in there, and now he's like, I want to try to help. I want to try to go this route. But then it gets too convoluted, so he does what I do. At the end, I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Look, this is what I'm like, what am I going to do?
Yeah. But so I told her the truth, but I kept some stuff out.
Yeah.
Because I don't want her to. And fight. The mom was like, do you, like, the mom, since she's religious, in her religion, men are here and women are there.
Right, head of the family, that kind of thing. Yeah.
So she was like, I can't believe she left you. You were such a good provider.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I was like, I am a good provider.
Yeah, that's right, I am. Yeah. Tell her that.
And then she was like, you provided so much for me, for her. And I was like, fuck, you know it. You know it. High five. And,
<Go on>.
And then she asked me, I felt so bad. She was like, do you still love her? And I was like, no. And then I was
like, "You didn't wait.
No,
you didn't even thinking. Like, let me think."
And then she got really sad. And I was like, "I still love her, but I don't love her. Love her, like I was like, I love her as a human being. She's a good human being. I just can't be around her anymore. I don't want to be around her."
You're like, bright side, I still love you.
Yeah.
I still love you, baby doll.
I kind of did tell her that. Yeah. She was like, but I love you. And I was like, I love you too. Yeah, and I hugged her.
That's amazing. You're dating now, hey?
Yeah, yeah.
That's
I'm crazy. Dating the mom.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
That'd be crazy.
You kick her out of the house and you take the mom. Holy shit, I'll be sleeping.
Are you on his couch now? Is that what's going on here? What are you sleeping
on? No,
I got four houses.
Roommates?
Yeah, I got four houses. Oh, I almost bought a house.
I thought they're all in Florida or some shit. I don't know.
You almost bought a house in Switzerland.
I almost bought a house in next door to Preach.
Oh, that's amazing!
Yeah, he sent me a house that was fucking so insanely nice.
Price?
But it's insane. Stupid expensive. Oh, God, stupid expensive.
And the interest rates now are 7 something?
House, yeah.
House next door to Ramsey's also for sale right now, just so you know.
Is he selling the house?
Let's go. No, the other side.
Okay.
Yeah, we can get a whole
good
thing.
Good price?
Oh, yes.
Never, I don't know what's a good price anymore.
Yeah, there aren't any good prices anymore.
Nothing anymore.
It's crazy what's happening.
But the house was actually cheap for what it is, But it was still like a 1.6 million.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah. But the municipal value, like, you know how, like, they tell you what the city thinks it's worth and what it's actually worth. It's always like a $400,000 or $500,000 difference. The guy was selling it under municipal value.
Because you would have black neighbors.
Exactly.
What is it about Preach that makes me feel so fucking good when I'm around him? I feel like a fucking star.
He's a good dude. He's a fun man.
You know, I feel like I have this extra, like, I don't know. He makes me feel like I'm important in a way that you guys don't.
Well,
you know?
Look, and I don't know, I'll explain to you. We don't like you, number one. Okay, no, Preach has one of those things. It's what I like in people, too. It's what I think Mike likes, too. Positivity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you know when you're with someone and they're like, yo, we're going to do shit this week. We're going to do stuff. Yeah. I like that. It motivates me. When you're with someone who's like, my dick hurts. You're like, ah, go fuck yourself. I don't want to hear it. You know, because life is so short anyway. And bad things happen all the time. I'd rather be with someone that's like fun and they're always looking at the next big thing.
That's why it is.
That's why we're having fun. Yeah. He's got a fucking world tour. I'm doing my English stuff. He's doing his like, everyone's having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why it's
fun. That's what I like about Pentals. Like, he's one of the first people I met that anything that happens, like anything good that happens to anyone, even people he doesn't like, he's happy for them.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, that's amazing. And a lot of people are like, that's amazing, but fucking why him and not me? Preach is kind of like that. And I think Preach too. He used to work at I forget what hotel, but King whatever was it, King James?
I think it was the St. James, the rich
not
one.
King
there.
James, yeah. So and he was like the butler to like the VVIPs. Like when Madonna came, it was his it was always his job to find dildos.
Yeah, he told me for, this shit. I
for rich
that.
People. So they'd be like, I need 7 dildos and a bottle of champagne. So he'd be out buying champagne and
a
dildos.
Toy of a dinosaur, like random shit.
Yeah. So he's used to like whatever you need. If you tell him, he's got it.
Yeah.
He does it right away.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So he has a positive attitude. So it's always fun. Like on the on Mike's tour.
Yeah.
That you know it was Poseidon, him, me, and Preach.
We never ran out of dinosaurs or dildos.
Yeah. We're just fucking around. It's fun. I was imagining all the time. I go like, this must be fun if you're in a band, but everyone's like this. It would suck if you had the opposite.
Yeah,
if you're there and you just have people and down and depressed, bro, you'd kill yourself. That's why a lot of band people probably kill themselves because they don't control who's in the band.
And bands always, the thing I think that fucks up a band is the singer and the guitarist are always the big stars and the drummer sometimes, but like the bass player gets super jealous.
And like you go on tour or something and you're like, I'm headlining, you guys are coming as my supporting acts. We understand how the money's going to break down. When you're in a band, it's like, let's divide this by 4 or whatever. Yeah. You're like, ooh, some of us are more important than the other ones. I think anyone could be a fucking metronome, Mr. Guy on the drum. Right?
Yeah.
So. Shut up, fucking keyboard player.
Exactly. So
we have one song that uses the keyboard.
Exactly.
Like the guys from Simple Plan, when they were touring, only 2 of them flew first class and the other 3
that's
were coach.
Fucked up.
That was very fucked up. And I know one of the guys that was one of the coach guys.
Yeah.
And then he was like, fuck it, I'm flying first class too. So then they brought him up to first class. So then there are 3 guys first class, 2 guys coach. You know how much that sucks, like getting recognized as being like a big, hey, aren't you the guys that are doing Madison Square Garden? Yeah. Why are you in coach?
Yeah. How do you explain that?
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
That's nuts.
Yeah. And then you got to say, I don't write the songs. Yeah, I don't write the songs. I'm not that good.
I don't stand up for myself.
Oh, man.
I don't have any confidence, sir. Sir, put your seatbelt on. I'm sorry.
Stop yelling, sir. Sir, don't argue. That's fucking amazing. Yeah, there's a lot of that kind of shit. That, so
or
you
like
need
the,
to surround yourself
like
with that.
Like the Kiss guys. Like now I get that it's Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley whoever the fuck wants to wear makeup. But the first version of Kiss... The first guys, like Ace Frehley, he was probably like, I'm fucking Ace Frehley.
Yeah.
I'm one of the guys. I'm like fucking number 3. And then they were like, you're very replaceable.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah,
that sucks when you find out how replaceable you are.
Because Gene Simmons took that whole thing over, right?
Yeah. I think, he was the whole thing the whole time.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
Richard Simmons, is that what you said?
I say Richard Simmons?
No. You said Gene.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so bad with music, I would not even remember that.
It's the guy with the tongue.
Guy with the tongue. The bass player. The only rich bass player.
He is the bass player.
Yeah, he's the bass player. He's a like he doesn't sing and he plays bass and he's the guy we think of.
Yeah, that's so fucked up.
Yeah. God but damn. It's because he was the brains of the operation. So he was like whenever you saw, he had the coolest look.
Yeah.
And the pictures, it was always him in front with the tongue.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The Paul Stanley was the, he doesn't seem like he's a singer. He doesn't seem like he has that much confidence.
He had the star, Stanley, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so how much of, wow, this is so crazy. So how much importance do you place on talent versus luck versus being fucking unique like that
in life or
no, like, in showbiz entertainment? Like,
I think talent isn't that important.
I don't either. Yeah.
Like talent, like you have to be talented to make it.
Yeah,
but there are so many talented you people could be just, that'll never make it.
Yeah. I think
so
as long as you get to good, you don't have to be like great. As long as you get to good, you're fine, right?
In order to show up at the dance, you have to have some talent. So forget the talent, because everyone that's at the dance will have talent.
Right.
But now when you're at the dance, you want to dance with the prom king or queen, depending on who you are, right? To get that, there's a lot of luck.
Yeah, it's kind of like, and a lot of who you know. Like, kiss? Like, that's crazy. Yeah. You're going like, who has the balls to go that unique? You have to go that fucking far where you're like, I'm going to dress like this. And like, I don't know. To me, I mean, I'm so boring and plain the way I am, which I'm like, is that a bad thing? Should I get really weird with it? You know, like, should I?
You mean look wise?
Yeah, look wise. I think looks, like, some of the people, they go fucking ape shit crazy.
Would you go blackface?
I mean,
because it'll get,
I'll get views. I will get views. That's true.
Or just get super tan. I don't know, tan. Change your hair color.
Help,
green or blue. Would you do blue hair?
Maybe. I would see. That's what I mean. That kind of thing. I don't know.
Like when I started doing stand up, I had blue hair.
Did you?
Like in the 90s.
Yeah. But that was, it was like punk rock.
But yeah.
You see, like it was before the, like, because now you see someone with blue hair, you're like, oh God, they're going to talk about the environment.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just going to offend this man.
He's probably got a neck tattoo, too.
They're going to, I'm going to have to call them they. Yeah. Okay, they.
All the magicians.
So you have a, okay, so then you did kind of the thing. You were like, this will make me stand out in a way.
Yeah, and you know why I stopped doing it? Because I had a guy tell me once, he was like, do you think you would have, you think you'd be popular if you didn't have blue hair? And I was like, does this fucking guy think that the only thing making me relevant is my fucking blue hair? So I was like, fuck it, no more blue hair.
Wow, you must really like that
guy. And
then
he got even bigger.
Yeah. Shit. Okay, I always wonder, because like, and this is not like Chris Ramsey, because he's my best buddy, it's easy to point at him, but like, he used to not have a beard and he used to not have any tattoos and he used to be just another like dude.
Everyone used to be a pussy, all right? You don't fuck.
Yeah, but no, but like, then he like adopted this really cool look. People cannot stop bringing up how fucking interesting he looks all the time, and his shit pops off. He just looks more interesting on camera. Like, I don't know.
But that's a fact. Some people look more interesting on camera.
I know. So I'm like, what? Do you just get a bunch of tattoos and grow your beard out? And that makes
you know how
difference?
Much that sucks if you do get the tattoos and you don't like tattoos and then you realize I've 7 views.
Yeah.
Oh my
and that's
God.
Probably what would happen. Yeah. I'm just endlessly curious. Yeah. I'm like,
why don't you go slowly? Grow out the beard
and
get a different haircut and then see if that helps.
Maybe. But I'm afraid to find out that it won't. I would like to live in the fantasy of knowing that if I could.
I think you'd look cool with a bigger beard.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Well, you of course.
Me, I have no choice. I look like a baby without it. Makes sense. I have, I mean, it's not really a choice. Yeah.
I'm trying to be more like Mike, so I don't try to be like you, you know. I want his career, not your career. Think about
it. If you have to choose this. If you have to choose, go that way, yeah. But yeah, I don't think it's for, I don't know, maybe for magic, but Chris does have a cool look to him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's also the shit he does and the puzzles and all that. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of.
No, for sure. There's a million factors. I'm always just endlessly curious because I'm with you guys. I think talent's like the baseline that you can find talent.
Yeah.
And then luck doesn't seem to be as important as some people pretend it is.
Luck is important. Luck, luck's right important, place, right time.
For sure. But like, I don't know, man.
And it's not giving up. Like, I saw a thing today with Seth Rogen, and he was saying if you give up, you're 100% sure you're not going to make it. But if you just keep doing it, it might take you 5 years, might take you 10 years, might take you fucking 50 years.
Yeah.
Like some people, like Morgan Freeman made it in his 60s.
Yeah.
Same fucking, what's his name? The black guy from Pulp Fiction. Sam Jackson. Yeah. Sam Jackson was like, he was addicted to crack in his 40s. Like he made it in his 50s. And he is fucking huge.
Yeah. I didn't know he was addicted to crack.
Yeah, he was.
No, fuck.
He was addicted to crack in the years. Remember the Eddie Murphy's second special, Raw?
Yeah.
The beginning, like you see little Eddie doing the story. At
the table?
Yeah. Hey, little lady's going to tell the joke. And then he does the joke. And then one of the uncles is like, that boy's got talent. That's Sam Jackson.
I can't remember.
Yeah, it's a young Sam Jackson. He was addicted to crack.
Holy shit. Yeah, it's a young
crack fucking filled Sam Jackson.
That is an awesome little nugget right there. Yeah.
God shit, damn. Yeah. You just got to start smoking some crack, though.
Yeah. Maybe that's all it is.
Yeah, that's all it
is. But I think it's reps, too. I think it's just relentlessly putting more shit out there. Again, like, I mean, I listened to a podcast the other day. This guy who made, he wrote 62 books before he wrote one that became, man, now he's a millionaire. You know,
was it God?
The first 62 books.
It took a while to get to the Holy Bible.
Yeah. It'd be amazing if God wrote them. There were 61 Bibles. They're all fucking weird.
Yeah, none of these are working.
He's like, none of them are trending.
I tried Adam and Steve. For some reason, that makes people angry.
He's like, I got this, honey. This one works.
Oh, shit.
How are you fucking retarded? But yeah, perseverance is part of it. If you're good, it's perseverance because now, especially, there's so much out there. So you have to keep going.
Yeah.
And someone getting something, it's not taken off your plate. Like, you don't lose.
No.
It's just the thing you didn't get then, but you continue. And that's been the story for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perseverance.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that's it, too. And I think you got to, magicians specifically, another reason I think we're a little bit behind comedy is they're really afraid to put themselves out there in a lot of ways, which you have to do. Because with magic, you're like, oh, I post that trick out there that then someone's going to steal it.
Anymore.
Well, I can't do it anymore.
Okay.
But also,
someone's going to steal
it. Stealing is not frowned upon in magic like it is in comedy. People are like, oh, that's a dope trick. And they just fucking do it. And no one seems to care. I don't understand. It's really strange.
Chris was saying that.
It's
like
very strange. So people are like, don't want to post their best shit.
So
like,
me and you were magicians, and I post a cool trick. And you steal it. It would be weird if I come tell you, hey, man, don't steal my shit.
Depends, because if you created it, we might have more of a beef. But chances are, you probably bought the original premise of that trick.
What if I created it?
If you created it, then you'd probably yell at me privately. But I'd be like, bitch, I got a bigger audience than you.
So that's what I'm saying. So you'd be like, nah, bro, this is how it's done.
It would
that's
never
crazy.
Really hit the public ears and eyes. So no one would know but you and me and like some magicians.
I'd break your fucking legs.
And you break, and you might be, I'd have broken legs.
But then they wouldn't let me in the magic club.
Exactly.
And the magicians would go, those legs aren't broken. That's just a trick.
I know how he did it. That would be amazing.
Yes, I.
Oh, fuck. He's selling that trick like crazy. He's yelling and crying.
They're working together. This is a good one. I'm believing this. He got me hook, line, and sinker.
Those are fake legs to begin with. This is all stooged. Yeah, but that's fair.
So, yeah, it's not frowned upon. It is weird because
it
then
is frowned upon, but not like it's not openly shamed.
It's not as bad as like Carlos Mencia. Like, no, it's not career ending.
You'd have to like prove, oh, this is how the trick works. That's how you can tell he stole it. Right? Like, it'd be like, oh, this is the secret. He fucking took my secret.
But what if you're just good at your job and you know, like, let's say Mike does a trick. You're like, I know how
to do
that.
That's the grayest of areas, man. Because I've seen shit like that where I'm like, well, that's good. I could slip that in, you know? It's hard. It's a hard thing to resist for sure. But I don't know. But then magicians sell tricks and fucking comedians aren't really out there selling jokes in that way, right? You don't be like, here, I wrote 40 minutes. Here, I'll sell it to you.
No, but some you could buy, like, some people buy jokes. That's true. You could buy, if it's good, you just,
you buy
jokes. I sold some jokes.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it's more of a thing than I thought. I guess I'm not really in that.
I haven't seen this in a while, but in the old days, like, whenever comics would sort of give up, and they were like, fuck it, I'm going to quit comedy. Then they'd sell their material.
That's great.
There used to be a guy that hosted the big comedy show in Quebec City. Like, it was a comedy night, and he used to get 2,000 people a night to go see the show. It was insane. And the guy, the host wasn't even a comic. He was like a radio guy. So he'd do like street jokes. And then whenever a comic had quit comedy, he'd buy all their material.
Oh, wow.
So he'd have like street jokes, and then he'd buy stuff from a dude that was doing like dark comedy, so he'd have dark jokes. Then he'd have a guy doing, you know, observational humor, so he'd have observational humor. So he was just the weirdest fucking comic.
He was the Swiss Army knife of comedy.
Yeah. But all of it worked, because he'd just like take the best jokes.
I was doing a show in Vancouver, just like random comedy bar situation, and this open micer was there, and he had one good joke, and then he fucking ate shit, and he was really upset, and he goes to leave, and this like veteran comedian I'm standing with grabs him, like, hey man, you ever do this again? And he's like, no, fuck comedy. And he leaves, and he's like, nice. And I could just see him stealing that good joke. I could see it in real time and be like, All right.
I got something.
I was like, wow.
Not even offering. Like,
yeah, he could have paid him.
He could have said, like, and given him, like, a low number. Like, here's 50 bucks.
Yeah, I'll
that kid would have been like, this amazing. I just
no, he might have come
bucks.
Back to comedy being like, yeah. I can make money here.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know. It was wild. I could have seen it happening in real time. Like, this is wild.
Yeah, it depends who you are. Like,
that
it,
guy was me. It's hard. I stole the joke.
No, no, because even paying people for jokes, sometimes it's hard to pay on. Like, if you have a very unique voice,
right,
it's hard to get a writer. Like, it would be hard for me to get him. I don't know how the fuck he could get a writer. Mm. It's too. It depends on the type of music. It's like music. It depends on the kind of comedy you do. Some comedy is so, like, formula. Like, the person that's their. Anybody could write for them as long as they know their style,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Others, like, especially storytellers about your life, like, let's say the new hour, I'm not going to ruin the jokes, but a lot of stuff that you have in the new hour, the Florida stuff and all that, no one could have written that better than it happening to you yeah. and then you making it ready for the stage. It's impossible. Yeah. It would sound okay if somebody wrote a funny joke for you, but it wouldn't be as funny as these stories coming from you. Look, I lived this.
Yeah.
There's some comics, that's what I've noticed, is you can't do it.
Mm.
It would be amazing,
but
you can't.
I think the ones that do pull it off are people that have been writing with the same person. Like, remember Richard Pryor used to always write with Paul Mooney?
Yeah, so they knew each other well enough.
They were like one person.
Yeah.
So they just bounce shit off each other. And I'm pretty sure Paul Mooney was just there to kind of listen and sort of help out. Because Paul Mooney was way younger than Richard Pryor. So I don't see him having like a fifth, like it wasn't like Elton John and Bernie Taupin type of relationship.
Right.
I think it was more of a Richard Pryor and then fucking Paul Mooney going, hey, quit smoking that. And just like, come back. Let's write jokes.
Let's write jokes. Handler, more of a handler.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what it is. It's weird and quiet. Like, I've written jokes for people. The best jokes I think I've given was stuff that I wasn't even paid. Like, just stuff that I was like, this works for you.
Yeah.
Try
when
this.
You're listening to a comic, going, yeah. hey, did you think of this tag?
Yeah, those are the best, because you're listening and you're like, oh, what would be so funny right now is this, and you can't use it because you're not going to do that person's joke.
Right.
So now that the joke exists, that tag that you have, it's better to give it to them so that it could live.
I have a bunch of those. Like, whenever someone gives me a tag, I always take them.
He's giving me tags.
But if someone gives me a joke, I never take them. I'll be like, I write my own material. But if you just give me a tag, I'm like, that's amazing.
Sure.
That's
amazing. He's giving me tags. One of the sound guys here gave me a great tag.
Do you know Ivan Decker?
Yes.
Sounds
familiar. Yeah, he's a really, really great comedian out of Vancouver. And he's won Juno. He's all over. But I'm going on tour with him for 8 shows in September. And last time I did this, I got like 3 great fucking tags. Because you're just forcing a really great comedian to watch every night.
Yeah.
And you're going to be on tour. So I'm like looking forward to that. Because, please, like, comedians out there, don't be afraid, man. Give me your tags. I'll take advice, like, for sure. Whatever helps, right? Like, because you can, when someone gives you a tag, you can take it or not. That's the best part.
Yeah,
about
you don't have to take it.
You don't have to take it. So just, throw ideas at me. I'm a fucking idea guy. Let's go. I think it's great.
Like, I had one of my tags in the special I put out on YouTube was Jimmy Carr gave me a joke, and I didn't like the joke at all. I know. I was like, that's a shitty joke. But then I was like, it's fucking Jimmy Carr. Yeah. I have to try it.
Yeah.
And then I tried it, and it fucking killed. So I put it in because it's Jimmy Carr, but I don't like the joke. But people like it.
That's weird.
It's because it's fucking Jimmy Carr. Like, he's a good joke writer.
Yeah.
How crazy is that? I don't like the joke, but I know it came from like one of the best joke writers. And the people like it, so I'm going to... It's such a weird...
Yeah, and if it was anyone else, I wouldn't have kept it.
Right.
But, no, because you didn't like the joke.
Because I don't like the joke, but I like the fact that Jimmy Carr wrote a joke for me.
Yeah.
He did 2 hours when I saw him the other night. I saw him in Toronto like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, you told me. How'd you like it?
Fucking awesome. Yeah. I get there, and then on the screen, it's just like, text this number with your heckles or jokes or whatever you want. Because I guess he probably goes around and people are trying to shout things out, which he still encouraged during the show, but no one did it hardly. But, like, texting, everyone was like, I'll fucking text this number. So the last half hour, he did, like, 90 minutes. The last half hour is just him pulling up shit on the screen from what we texted, random sampling, and just riffing and talking and whatever. It was really quite good.
Thing I liked about him, because most people that do a lot of crowd work, even if they're in a 5,000-seater, they act like they're in a club, so it's on the front. But Jimmy Carr always has people from the balcony yelling shit. So his crowd work is really good.
Yeah, this one.
Yeah,
this one
really
guy,
different.
This one guy in the balcony is like... He reposted a thing on the thing. It's like, I went. I had an operation for getting LASIK surgery, and then they fucked up, and I went blind. And Jimmy Carr is like, "Who is this?" So this guy from the balcony's like, "Oh, it's me." And he's like, "I'm over here." Whatever, did that joke, which is funny. But then he just got like serious with that. It was weird. The guy was way in the back, and he's like, I was like the most unlike Jimmy Carr thing I've
ever
seen.
Wait, the guy's blind?
The guy's blind now because of a fucking LASIK surgery going
on.
Oh,
I'm not doing LASIK anymore.
Yeah, it was
I knew, moment he said it, I knew what was going on in your head.
It was so real in the room that it was like, it was the only time he didn't make a joke all night. He just like, feel bad for you, man, or whatever. Everything else was so murderously funny, but that moment was like, yeah, everyone in the room was like, oh, man, LASIK, that's a bit too close to home.
Yeah,
you can joke about gay, race, women, whatever. But he's like, LASIK, whoa, don't joke about that.
Yeah, I'm done. Too close to home. I'm not doing it. Because that guy really turned blind.
Yeah, man.
Oh, I'm not doing it.
I see, yeah, he ruined so many people's night that night, and I'm spreading the word.
Good.
It'll ruin
put him out of business. These fucking lunatics. They're ruining our eyesight.
It was such a great
night. Wait, hold on. Aren't they held accountable if they make you go blind?
I don't know. I didn't ask him all that.
Even if they give you $10 million, you're blind.
No, I understand.
And they can't ask the guy, point out the guy that operated on
Yeah, yeah.
I understand, but can't they unblind you?
I think
they can unblind you. If you have to restore, there's a button in the back, and you hit it, and you go back to 3 days ago.
You got
to
call your buddy Jesus. It's the only way to cure the blind.
System reboot.
If you could cure the blind, that would be amazing. You can't cure it, no.
No.
Oh, my dad. I cured my dad's blindness. You know how my dad's been blind for 4 years?
Did you hit him?
My dad's been blind for 4 years, so he's had a real hard time. Getting around and stuff. So, I put him in a home. He didn't like the home. Got him in a new home. And as we're visiting the home, the lady talking to him, she's like, have you ever met with someone that can help you live with your blindness? Like, they'll come and they'll show you, you know, how to move around, how to do shit. And then my dad just says, yeah, they did a test the other day and they said if I had the proper glasses, I could see. And
what?
I was like, what? And he goes, yeah, because I did a test, and they said oh since God. I could see with the test, if I had if my glasses were adjusted, I could see. And I was like, so you haven't been blind for 4 years? So I was like, who told you this? And he was like, ophthalmologist or whatever. And I was like, so why didn't they give you glasses? And then he was like, because they don't sell glasses. And I was like, you fucking asshole. So then we left. I brought him to an optometrist and then optometrist. And he did the test. And then they were like, we don't think the glasses will work. But they booked another appointment. And then he met a guy. And then he's getting his glasses this week. His vision is going to be 80% what he used to be.
What the fuck?
So, and the guy was like, he goes, I shouldn't tell you this, but when you'll have the glasses on, you could probably drive again. Holy and I was like,
that well.
Fuck, he's been blind for 4 years. So he's been going through this weird depression that he just sits in his apartment.
Oh my God.
And he's just sad and waiting for death.
He's going to bang all kinds of old ladies. Yeah. He's like, I see you.
Yeah.
I see you looking at me.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, and so he's going to get the glasses this week. And at first I was like, I wanted to give him the glasses, but I'm going to get them to send them to him to get his fucking eyesight back as
soon
quick
as possible.
You're Mr. Beast now.
Mr. Beast, but just with my dad.
Just with your dad, yeah.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
You cured the blind.
I cured one blind man.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Have you cured any of the blind?
No, I might go over there with a laser pointer, though, and set him back, you know?
Just him in the corner, Mike, check out this magic trick. Well, look, Wes, thank you for coming to the podcast.
Thanks, boys.
To remind everyone, links are in the description. Abracadumbass is on sale now.
I was going to buy the audiobook from my dad. I'm going to buy him the actual book.
Yeah, he's going to read it now. Wes Barker, everything is in the description. Comedy legend Mike Ward is on tour everywhere, English and French. MikeWard.ca is the website. If you haven't already and you're in Toronto, Mike's going to be in Toronto.
July 7th at the Great Hall.
At the Great Hall. There's the regular hall, but then there's the Great Hall. It's the best hall in Toronto. It's the great one. It's the greatest one you guys have. It's the Great Hall. For Mike Ward Noir in English, the day after, the Comedy Bar will play host to Mike Ward, Sous Écoute, the number one French language comedy podcast on the planet, the award-winning, record-breaking podcast, which you can get the entire back catalog if you go to patreon.com/sous-écoute. Did you know that?
I do now. I'm there.
That's what I'm saying.
Now let's do it. Don't even speak French.
This man in front of me, the award-winning Poseidon, is online at iamposeidon.com or theposeidon69 on Twitter and on Instagram. PantelisComedy.com for all of my stuff. Patreon.com/Pantelis. Thank you all, and go fuck yourselves.
Boom.